The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Oh, it's been a minute. You know?
Life and shit.
Life and shit, yeah. Mm-hmm. The snow is starting. We're well into second winter by now.
Yeah.
The snow has started to thaw, and then the ice froze again, and, you know.
And then your basement got water.
Yeah, my basement got water at the end of February. Woohoo. Gotta love running that dehumidifier for days on end. Whatever. It's over. It's done with now, and this summer I'm going to be getting some foundation work done, so that hopefully this will be the end of it. So
you're hiring people?
Yep.
I
can't do foundation work myself.
I was like, I just saw me shoveling in your backyard or whatever.
No.
We're going to play that game about digging a hole called Dig a Hole.
Dig a hole, yeah. Dig a hole. No, I'm hiring professionals to do foundation work. I don't know anything about that type of work, so I'm going to be dropping probably about 15 grand on a job like that. So.
Ours was about 10-ish.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Well, it's got to be done. I'm sick and tired of having to clean up water, especially since it comes in right next to my studio desk. So it's a little bit of a worrying
thing.
It's
really funny too. Like when they do work on the house, like because it'll be the outside, will be like right well there.
More or less,
they'll be able to hear you inside if you yell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Because when Michelle was still staying with us, she heard one of the guys sneeze,
oh,
and she said, "Bless you," and it got real fucking quiet.
Oh.
None of them talked for the rest of the time they were there that day.
Oh, boy.
Wow. It was really funny.
They were probably planning on saying some pretty disgusting things then, I imagine, if they got that quiet.
Shit.
It's like, oh, yeah. Shit, guys.
I'm sure a lot of construction worker talk, yeah, most women probably don't want
to. I bet that job got done faster than any foundation job in the history.
Job in the history
talking
of our sport.
Yeah.
There we are. Well, we are once again reunited, and we're here. We're ready to rock in your beautiful home studio here.
Episode 80.
Well, not already.
That's
already
how old I feel.
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years, and we're only 80 episodes.
Yeah. That's how old I feel.
Yeah.
Well, before we get on with the grunt, like my dad used to say, I do kind of want to throw a hello, a thank you, a shout out, whatever you want to all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because without going into too much inside baseball, we got some wicked news.
Recently. The email,
That apparently Wrestling Night in Canada is within the top 10 listenership of wrestling podcasts in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, does that mean it can't, I'm thinking it's hosts within Canada, because, you know, when you think about the Cornette and Jim Ross and, you know, all the celebrity podcasts.
Yeah, like Canadian podcasts, we're not the top 10
listens
to podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, well, how did we garner this list, this awesome.
I have no idea.
I know.
When half the time we just ramble about other shit.
Yeah, maybe that's why people like us so much.
That could very well be.
Wrestling podcast, wrestling 15 minutes, or other random shit, an hour.
Yeah, it's just like wrestling in general.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then I was starting to think about, okay, our moniker, Wrestling Night in Canada, is a nice take off of Hockey Night in Canada. So, so I'm thinking like a lot of people are seeing, you know, Wrestling Night in Canada, relating to that because they grew up watching Hockey Night in Canada like I did.
Right.
You know, in the summertime in Canada during off season, there was nothing on TV Saturday night because we had four channels.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, and when, no hockey. Yeah.
And Hockey Night in Canada was such a big part of Canadian culture.
Yep.
Back then, and when there's no hockey on, like there's nothing on Saturday night unless one of the stations airs a movie or something.
Yeah, I'm curious to know if like if anybody clicked on our podcast thinking it was Don Cherry talking about wrestling. And yeah, that just popped in my head. Like people are coming on here. It's like, you people come here. We talk about professional wrestling, and we talk about Vince McMahon.
I never even thought of that. Wow.
And they just think he wears a different suit all the time, even though you can't see him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Of course, for our international listeners, Don Cherry was a former NHL coach when I was a kid, and then he became a broadcaster. And he was known for his outlandish Herb Tarlick type. yeah, listeners might not know who Herb Tarlick is. Yeah. But
I don't fucking know
those
who
type
Herb
of
Tarlick
flashy,
is.
Gaudy.
Oh, just
suits,
the
just
yeah.
Brutal.
His suits were like the loudest suits you could imagine someone wearing. Yeah. Yeah, and he even had like a
so picture Seth Rollins wearing suits.
Pretty much. Like, he's the Seth Rollins of hockey. There you go. But yeah, he had a whole line of like mini beer kegs that were all designed after his suits and like Bubba kegs, I think they were called. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So.
And now he's a disgraced former host. So.
Yeah.
Because he said some stuff that people didn't agree with.
Well.
And,
I understand.
It got a little. Got a little offensive. Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah. But he was ready to retire anyway.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he's well into his 90s by now. Like, so yeah.
Yeah.
Like when did the You People incident go down? Was that in 2020?
It was a long time ago.
It was like 2020, 2021, around there?
I
would say probably 2020.
Maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All had to do with poppies, but it ended up turning into a rant about immigrants.
So, with this episode, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to get into. I'm really looking forward to this episode's Turnbuckle Talk, definitely. But to kind of get us going, obviously the number one thing on the hearts and minds and souls of everyone was last night's Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And everything that kind of went down.
Yeah. A little unexpected, but at the same time, it's like a long time coming.
Right.
I never expected what happened to happen. Like, it's
right.
Not even at this, especially at this stage. But well, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it. Are you going to do the mat thing? And we'll.
I don't know if we'll go match by match. I think we should just kind of talk about the pay per view as a whole. But I think we should just touch before we get into the Elimination Chamber or Limmy Chambles, as I like to call it.
Limmy Chambles.
But we'll talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble since we haven't talked about that yet.
Right.
So Jey Uso, bit of an unexpected winner because we all assumed that John Cena was going to be the most predictable winner, and it came down to Uso and Cena, and Uso got the win, surprisingly, and the internet complained, but they would have complained either way, so you know what?
They would have bitched if John won.
Yep.
Well, as much as the yeet thing, it irritates the piss out of me.
Oh, I know. Okay. I'm not a particularly big fan of it either. Like, I liked him better when he was just Jey Uso, Jimmy's brother. But
But it's over.
I acknowledge.
Is over.
I acknowledge the fact that it's over with the crowd. People are doing the yeet thing with him. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that stadium is going to look like in Las Vegas with that many people
doing that with them.
Yeah.
It's going to look cool.
Yeah.
And it all came from a drunk press conference.
Yep.
How it started.
Yeah. Yes. Do you feel him, sir? Yeah. The drunk press conference with Cody Rhodes.
We may have had a few libations on the bus.
Yeet.
Yeet. But Jimmy Uso did. Jimmy wore a yeet sweater like a few months before that.
Oh, right. So, really, it was supposed to be his, I guess. Yeah.
He wore it the one time and never again, and then drunk fucking Jay.
Drunk Jay just started saying it over and over again at the press conference. Yeah, the post show for whatever pay-per-view that was.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the Saudi Arabia, or no. I don't remember what it was.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's not the important part.
No. Yeah, I just tuned in one day and everyone was eating, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
But, yeah.
It's just him, Moose.
Yeah, now main event Jey Uso is not just a clever name. So he's...
No. There you go.
He has chosen Gunter to be the world champion that he goes after, and I think he might actually get it, even though it is the secondary world championship, but let's be real here. It's the consolation prize for when Roman Reigns didn't show up to work. When he still doesn't, but
yeah, we haven't seen him since.
Yeah,
I
haven't seen him since the Rumble. Yeah. That devastating curb stomp that he took on the floor. Then
was a good one.
It was, but was it enough to take someone out for months? Even though a lot of people have gotten similar ones and have come to work the next day, right. But
true enough. True
but
enough.
And then also Charlotte Flair won the Women's Royal Rumble, which we did expect to happen as well.
Yeah.
And she'll
the
be
collective side. Yeah.
She'll be facing Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. And I really hope she doesn't win. I hope they put Tiffany over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany is a star then.
Tiffany is a very hard worker, and she is legit over, and she is legit very, very good. Mm-hmm. So they don't call it the prettiest moonsault ever just because it's a clever name.
I'm sure Christopher Daniels is proud of that.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah. And I really hope that Charlotte doesn't get another win because... She doesn't need it.
No.
Yeah, it's counterproductive.
Christopher Daniels is so proud of that moonsault, he was caught punching himself on the head on AEW.
Yeah, it was weird, yeah.
Why you hitting yourself?
Why you hitting yourself? Yeah, literally.
That was a bad time. That was bad timing.
It was the worst timing, yeah. Remember 2 years ago when we were singing AEW's praises and shitting all over WWE?
I don't even remember what went on last, apart from... You guys reminded me, what's going on AEW? Where
honestly, I haven't even been watching regularly.
Oh, okay.
I watch the Simon Miller's ups and downs on What Culture and whatever reviews on any other, the 5-10 minute videos on the recap of it. Because I don't know, I'm just genuinely disinterested in the product nowadays. Oh. And
it's not blowing any smoke up my skirt, and I need the recaps. I need the constant reminder. And at one time, and for the WWF as well, and TNA, the reminders kind of help. At one time, I didn't. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Getting.
You're the oldest. You're the oldest of the three.
I remember when I was a teen.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew everything that was going on. In Puerto Rico, WCCW.
I'm sure there was a point in time where we were all like Rain Men when it came to this
And I'd never seen a single match from Puerto Rico.
No.
Because I wasn't a tape trader. But I knew what was going on through all the aftermags and all that. Now, I don't know. But that's my fault.
In 2018, I knew everything that was going on in WWE and in Japan because there was no AEW at that point.
Right.
And then AEW came around and I don't know, I guess I just kind of dove headfirst into being a wrestling fan all over again in 2017. And I guess I kind of got burnt out and now I just kind of want to gradually watch a little bit of wrestling. Here and there, and then let my friends at What Culture and Cultaholic and Wrestle Talk and all the other YouTubers just catch me up on it. I'll fill in the blanks,
and then we'll get together, watch the pay per views, and yell at the TV.
We'll just watch the vignettes before the matches at pay per view should tell us everything we need to know.
Yeah,
so,
the 5 minute fucking vignettes.
Yeah, WrestleMania 14, that was perfect. You didn't need to know anything that happened on any episode of Raw before that.
Yeah,
it told you everything you needed to know, and it set the gold standard for vignettes, and that was now almost 30 years ago.
Too many things is 30 years ago now. You know, and I have my daughter and her husband laughing at me when I make reference to the Green Day Dookie album.
Yep.
I call that modern rock.
Even though it came out in 1994.
And it was 30 fucking years ago.
31.
A hell of a long time ago. Yep. And I said that and they literally laughed at me. And it's Dad, that That was 30 years ago.
The first Jurassic Park movie came out in 1993. That was 32 years ago.
I know. Yeah.
That's when I was born.
Yeah, like I was seven.
I was born 5 days after Andre the Giant died.
Jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or was it six? I don't remember.
I think it's irrelevant but at that point, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so the point is we're getting old, and I'm going to be 39 this year, and that's just that much closer to 40. I still look like I'm 25, though, so at least I have that.
So I'm thinking at the end of the day, like, the Rumble really didn't do very much for us.
It was, it felt a little bit awkward. I don't know why. The whole structure of it just kind of seemed a little
Mm-hmm. But best part was Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry coming out at 15, although I think there should have been a bigger pause between the buzzer and the start of his music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do think he should have had a bit of a better showing before Reigns threw him out, because, of course, it was Roman Reigns that threw him out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. The TNA guy. See you.
Yeah. I'm the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
The fuck out of here.
All right, well, since we're talking TNA and Joe Hendry, Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
Good, bad, indifferent? What is this? This has to be only a good thing for TNA.
Oh, yeah. Like a lot of people will just be like, oh, it's another ex-WWE guy and blah, 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 blah. But
who wants to walk with Elijahs?
Yeah, Elijahs. What does TNA stand for? Walk with Elias. Walk with Elijah.
Well, when you think about it, though, it's like, oh, if anyone is saying, oh, ex-WWF guy, okay, fine. So you get released from the Fed, and you can't work anywhere else?
Yeah, that's what people believe. Yeah.
Well,
whatever.
I don't know. I was never Elias. Like, it never really did anything for me when he was with the WWE. But when I saw him in TNA, I was kind of like, oh, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know,
he had a great gimmick. Yeah, like, I loved the whole what WWE stands for. Walk with Elias. Like, that
worked so well. It did. Yes.
But like all the times they could have capitalized on him in WWE, they never did. He never won a title other than the 24/7 championship.
That doesn't count.
He could have easily been an Intercontinental champion.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then go from there.
Yeah.
The only thing I really remember from Elias and WWE
from
Elias and WWE was that thing he had with Jarrett when Jarrett came back for that little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were the first two entrants in the 2019 Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Then they hit each other with guitars.
Uh-huh. But, yeah.
A guitar match.
They're also, like, not long before he made his TNA debut, he actually did a video that they put out with him and the Righteous from Ring of Honor. So a lot of people thought that Elias was going to be joining Ring of Honor. That never happened, obviously. So now the speculation is that maybe the Righteous's contracts in Ring of Honor are going to be winding down pretty soon, so maybe they might join him over at Total Nonstop Action.
Well, I wouldn't want... Okay, this is not the Ring of Honor we knew.
Oh, no, this is very watered down, you know? Like...
So if they start letting Ring of Honor guys go and they can go somewhere else, like TNA, and be more useful and more productive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what I'm not for? Tessa Blanchard.
Oh yeah.
Oh well. You know what?
The Your Races chants are great.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say, like, she's definitely been entertaining. Her promos have been off the hook.
I haven't been watching TNA, so I can't really.
She has been amazing and all that. But I'm sorry, sorry, not sorry, I guess, as the kids are saying.
She never apologized. She's just telling people to move on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And a part of me is like,
when they did the Full Sail TNA episode, they got the You're a Racist chant and then the Tessa, we coming for you.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, did you see that video, the TNA tapings where, like, the people in the front row when Booker T was coming out to make his entrance to go to the commentary table, just row full of all, like the front row full of like all black people, obviously, all chanting to Booker T's music, going, "Hulk Hogan, we coming for you! Hulk Hogan, we coming for you!"
Yes.
And Booker didn't really seem to acknowledge them, but he had a smile on his face.
No doubt.
Yeah. No doubt. That's going to be one of those live in infamy.
Oh.
Yeah, no, because it was live, I think, in Nitro. It was live.
We coming for you.
Yeah.
And then he just goes, shit.
Yeah. the look on Sherry's face.
They edited that on the network when that was still a thing. He says, we coming for you. Or Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, sucker.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which?
And then they didn't edit out him putting his head in his hands and like turning around and Sherry just like trying to console him. And be like, it's okay.
Yeah. That whole sucker thing.
Yeah.
That Stevie Ray was doing on Thunder broadcasting and all that.
Right.
When he was the coach. The missus and I, we still call each other sucker. Because of that, you know, like. Sucker's got to go do this, you know. Sucker. Like that's what we call one another on occasion. It's just something that kind of remained with us, and it probably always will,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yeah, with Blanchard, I was such a big fan during her initial run, how she was being built up, winning the title.
The world title, not
just the women's or the digital media or whatever bullshit, you know. the title, world champion, the first woman to win the guys, you know, championship.
Yeah, Tessa Blanchard has held the same championship as guys, people like Kenny Omega, Christian Cage, AJ Styles, Kurt Angle,
for sure. And it kills me.
Mm-hmm.
It kills me how far she fell.
And then she just refused to come back, so they stripped her of it.
Yeah.
Because she lives in Mexico.
Yeah.
So she wasn't. They wanted her to film some vignettes or some promos.
Yeah.
And
just like, film some promos and send it to us.
Yeah. And then she's like, nah.
She didn't want to do that.
Like, what else you got going on right now? Yeah.
So like I kind of knew. It's like
Yeah, and then all the stuff came. Chelsea Green's been very outspoken against her. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so she never formally apologized. She was just telling people that's in the past, let's move on. So
yeah.
Not really being accountable is
right.
Yeah.
Just say, "Look, I did something stupid. I fucked up. I'm moving on. I'm sorry."
I hope you can all forgive me.
I'm not the same person.
You're not obligated to forgive me, but I hope you can. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Give me a chance to change and improve myself. But
like I said, she's been absolute fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Chelsea Green lately.
And she,
holy jeez.
Tessa is the current TNA Knockouts champion. She beat Jordynne Grace. I believe.
No.
Okay. Well. Shows you how today I am.
Oh, I watch TNA every week. Like I said,
who is the TNA Knockouts champion?
Oh, God,
you sure it's not Tessa Blanchard?
I'm not 100%.
Okay. Well,
of course,
I do know that Joe Hendry is the world champion.
The world champion.
Moose is the X Division champion. Yes. And the Hardy Boys are the tag champions.
Are the tag.
And Steph DeLander is the digital media champion.
Steph DeLander and Mance Warner.
Oh, yeah. She won it in the divorce from PCO after he vacated it and smashed it at that GCW event.
Yeah.
Which at first I thought was just a work, but turns out, nope. Nope, they wanted to give him half the money he was already getting paid, and then, he decided to go on a rant and destroy their championship, and, now he's no longer with the company.
I wouldn't have wanted to be, what's that commentator, Emil, in that situation, trying to grab a sledgehammer from PCO?
Yeah. Yeah.
PCO, stop.
Yeah. No, Ben.
Maybe we should kind of reel this back into the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. So anyway, so Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So it's we got Jey Uso versus Gunter set for WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas. We got Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair set for WrestleMania 41. We don't know which night either match is going to be, but I imagine the World Heavyweight Championship match between Gunter and Jey is going to be probably on night one.
Right.
So, because, it's a secondary championship. But, mm-hmm. And we have our number one contenders for the other world titles set, and we will get into that after watching Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, Women's Elimination Chamber, Bianca Belair took the win on that one, so she will be facing either Rhea Ripley or Io Sky. They have a World Heavyweight Championship or Women's World Championship match tomorrow as we speak on Raw, but it kind of seems obvious that Rhea's going to retain and Bianca and Rhea are going to have a match for that title.
But it better be a banger.
Oh, it will be. If those two don't put on an absolutely fantastic match, I will be so disappointed because they were the final two in the Women's Royal Rumble in 2021.
Right.
And they put on a clinic then. And people were wondering, ooh, when are we going to get these two in a one-on-one match? So
Here we go.
Woohoo!
Marsha Slamovich is the TNA.
That's it. Yes. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Cool. Anyway, back to Elimination Chamber. Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton beat Nia Jax and Candice LeRae because you have to have the crowd-pleasing match, I guess.
Right. Of course, the Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah, I had to have the Toronto Maple Leaf. Their gear was Toronto Maple Leafs colored.
Oh, and in the chamber, Jade Cargill came back and shit-kicked Naomi.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, there was a swerve. So that's probably going to be a match at WrestleMania. Jade Cargill and
Even
Naomi.
Though we all saw that coming.
Yep.
A mile away.
Oh, 10 miles away. Yeah.
It was obvious.
Yep, exactly. It was like blood in the water to a shark. We could see it. We could smell it.
But, and Bianca was stuck in her glass chamber of emotions.
Yeah, her glass case of emotion. Okay, unsanctioned match between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in Canada. No better place to do it. And my God, did that ever get violent for a match that had no blood?
Yeah.
Michael Cole saying 20 years ago it was a young El Generico and Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen, yeah.
Yes, that was it. I was racking my brain earlier today thinking, okay, he said something really cool.
Yeah.
Cole's allowed to be cool now and all that.
But obviously, they didn't say it was from Ring of Honor.
No, they didn't drop that.
Well, Ring of Honor is a part of the AEW universe. Right. So, yeah.
But just hearing him say Steen and El Generico and all that, I was just kind of like, yeah!
Yeah.
Oh, and we forgot to mention when Bayley made her entrance, Michael Cole said Sasha Banks.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bayley and Sasha won the women's tag team championships in the Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
Yeah. They were the first women's tag team champions. And then they won
according to WWE.
Yeah. Well, the first of these current titles that we have now for the women's tag team titles. And the irony is not lost on me that the first ever women's tag team title match was in a match that didn't have any tags. So but it was just a co-op match or a tornado match, whatever you want to call it.
I still think the funniest moment of that unsanctioned match was when Sami Zayn ran at Kevin Owens with a trash can.
Oh, threw a trash can.
And Pat McAfee goes, he hit him with Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, but
so good.
Yeah, in the end, KO got the better of it and got the pin. And after knocking out three referees, but the first referee was only wearing a black T-shirt because it's unsanctioned.
He got to be comfy. Right.
Yeah, but Charles Robinson, he was wearing his ref shirt when he came out, and he got clotheslined. But after the match, Randy Orton made his return after being out for, I think, 2 months after getting the package piledriver from Kevin Owens.
Yep.
And yeah, they got into a scrap, and it looked like he was about to do the punt, that famous punt that he used to do back in 2009, and then brought it back during the pandemic.
Yep.
But nobody really talks about that. But
and everyone he kicked went to AEW.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
he kicked them all the way to the other league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't even think about that till now, but yeah,
Big
he went,
Show gone,
he,
Christian gone.
He, so he went to go, yeah, Edge gone. But,
yeah.
He went to go punt Kevin Owens, and the officials all swooped in and stopped him. So I'm thinking those two were gonna have a battle of the band maneuvers at WrestleMania, the package pile driver versus the punt. So yeah,
they're building to something there.
They are, definitely. Yeah. So I don't know what Sammy's plans are for WrestleMania now that he's lost this match and apparently is severely injured, but but we'll see. He kind of had a thing going on with Karrion Kross on TV, so maybe they'll build something out of that.
Right.
But then with the men's Elimination Chamber match, my God.
Well, okay, sorry. Just for a second. with this, okay, this match is unsanctioned. Mm-hmm. We're washing our hands.
We're not responsible.
We're not responsible for any of this. We don't want to be connected to this. This match is going to be brutal. You know, these two just hate each other. We have to have a winner. We got to have, you know, like, they just hyped it.
No blood?
Like, it's going to be the most brutal thing you ever saw. It was a rough and tumble match.
The spots were absolutely... Some of the spots looked like they legitimately... I winced at a couple of the spots, right. I will say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But if you were going to bring barbed wire out...
And no blood.
And, yeah, okay...
And Kevin Owens' face clearly hit it on that drop toe hold.
Yep.
Right. And he tried to sell it. Oh, my eye.
And the commentators were like, oh, he might have broken his broken his cheekbone on that. It's like, oh, so barbed wire can just break bones now. That's what it's famous for. Yeah.
And I don't know. This is a little thing. Okay, maybe I'm nitpicking. But when your clothes come into contact with barbed wire,
shouldn't it hook into it,
catch it, and all that. None of Owens' shirts.
It is worked barbed wire where they snip the tips off.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like the Sandman's barbed wire in WCW was just, you can tell this was, I think they called it Bob wire. Yeah, like it's just, you could tell, like, okay, like this is just fucking fake. You know, and it was the same thing with that. And it's
corked. They all got little corks.
Mick Foley's rolling in his grave, even though he's not dead
that's
yet.
Right. Not even dead yet.
This was just a warning gator. The next one won't be corked.
That's right. So if you're going to have barbed wire, like, and it's such a brutal, it's supposed to be, you know, this brutal match.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting no color at all. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe Netflix doesn't want.
Any
color.
That wasn't
the
case.
But they have fucking horror movies and titty movies on Netflix. So why are you concerned? Why would they be concerned about blood in this?
Obviously, we learned that in the main event segment.
Perhaps they were, you know, saving it.
Yeah, neither chamber match had blood. The unsanctioned match didn't have blood, but
color from Bianca's hair.
Oh, yeah, she got whipped by Bianca's hair, and yeah, she was...
Or, no, sorry, Bianca's hair.
Bianca, okay, well, that's hard way.
Yeah.
Isn't it Bianca?
She was bruised up.
Pat, we invented the language.
Yeah, Liv was banged up. She posted a picture on her social medias this morning, and she had bruises all over her left arm, and obviously the lacerations all over her back and side from Bianca's hair. So she took it like a champ, and she is a champ. She's half of the tag team champ.
Yep,
and she's fantastic.
Oh, she's
like
great.
I enjoy what, like, she's such a little fucking bitch, you know.
Oh yeah,
like, and that's what she's supposed to be.
I know.
Same with Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
She's doing. They're doing their jobs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hate the word, but her character is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
When they say Chelsea Green is coming up next, I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the only thing, and it's not her fault, but I wish when Green is coming to the audience and
Lillian Garcia.
Yeah.
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 Not Jillian Hall.
And she goes, Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not. No, 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 no.
That was
no,
Samantha's
no.
thing.
Yeah. But you're supposed to, you're the ring announcer. You're supposed to play it straight.
Yeah.
You know.
Chelsea Green.
Yeah, like for her to do that is like no. No, no. But that's
Samantha Irvin made that popular, so yeah.
Okay, well, they have to stop doing that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Samantha's thing. Samantha's gone from the company now, so.
Now what they could do is like not use that,
mm-hmm.
but when Green gets into the ring and then gives her shit for not doing it, so then Lillian goes, oh, okay,
the
Chelsea Green, okay, that works. That works. This is not hard, people. Like, we're booking a better show in Matt's basement.
Yep. Okay. This is the new writer's room, the atomic writer's room.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Sorry.
Moving on with Elimination Chamber.
And that has been a rant.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got, the Men's Elimination Chamber. One of the most entertaining parts of that match was CM Punk constantly fixing his light while he was in his pod because it kept falling over.
That was great.
Yeah, and there's actually like footage of, there's fan footage up on Twitter or all over social media of these fans taking videos of him like chanting for him to fix the light.
And he's just laughing, yeah, putting it back together.
Fix the light, fix the light.
And fix the light, they're like, yeah!
CM Punk, CM Punk. But
they have fun.
Yeah, the men's chamber came down to Cena and CM Punk, and I was like, what year is it?
Remember, they were standing what's across from each other, again? And Cena went, I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you, and they hugged each other.
They
and
hugged
it's like,
when I missed you, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then with an assist from Seth Rollins at the very end, Cena pulled out the win, put on the STF. And
Cena jumped on that a little quick.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. But he said he was saying, I'm sorry, as Punk was passing out. So Punk didn't tap out. He passed out. So
right.
Babyface trope. Yeah.
Right.
And so Cena has won the 2025 Elimination Chamber. He's going to WrestleMania to face Cody.
He pointed at the sign.
Pointed
so
at the
it's
sign.
Official.
Yep. Official. The explosions happened. And and then after that, immediately after that, Cody Rhodes comes out to give The Rock his answer, whether he's going to sell his soul and become The Rock's champion. So weird. The Rock comes out to his 35-minute entrance and goosebumps and all.
And The Rock has longer entrances than The Undertaker.
Or Roman Reigns.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, comes out with the goosebumps, comes out with Travis Scott.
For some reason.
Right, accompanying
which
him.
I had to call a mutual friend of ours to tell me who the fuck Travis Scott is.
Yeah.
He's got that sage on him.
Yeah, he brought that sage just like he did at the first Raw on Netflix. And, but then The Rock asks him, Cody, for his answer, and Cody, uncensored, just looks at The Rock and says, go fuck yourself.
Okay, yeah. Like, we've heard foul language in wrestling before. Yeah. We hear it all the time in Game Changer and
even in
AEW. ECW. Yeah. You know, they dropped the language as
Christian
well.
Christian Cage said that to Adam Copeland. Like, he said it, like, straight up, go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
On live TV.
Yep.
Not on pay-per-view. Not on Netflix.
But still, I never, ever would have thought there would have been an intentional F-bomb in the WWE.
No, of course not.
So when that happened, I gotta say, like, wow.
Maybe they're allowed one per.
Just yeah. like the MPA movie ratings.
Yeah.
You're allowed one F-bomb before they move it up to an R.
Yep.
That's why Beetlejuice, the first one, only had one F-bomb.
Oh, really?
Because they wanted the PG-13.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
I got to watch that again now. I forget where that is.
Complained.
Yeah.
And people still complained. Oh, Beetlejuice, it's not for kids. And yeah, no shit, it's not.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said it was a kid's movie.
Yeah.
People are dumb.
Well, yes.
A movie that has a book called The Handbook for the Recently Deceased.
That's right. Like, come on, people. Yeah. So,
after that, back to Elimination Chamber. After that, the crowd was cheering for him. Even John Cena was celebrating. John Cena and Cody embrace, and as soon as they do, John Cena's smile turns into a frown, looks at The Rock, and The Rock does this throat-slitting motion towards John Cena.
But with two fingers. Instead of three.
Twice as badass.
Yeah. Instead of three, though. Because when he came back at Bad Blood, he had the three fingers up. So now he's only got the two. So is there a third man involved? We'll get to it. Anyway, they stop hugging. John Cena low blows Cody Rhodes, hits him with the AA, chokes him with his tie, makes him bleed.
Hits him with his Rolex.
Yeah. Punches him with the brass knuckles.
That's
a Rolex Cole.
He hit him with Travis Scott.
Yeah. Travis Scott got in there too with some sage. And so John Cena has sold his soul to The Rock. And for the first time since 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Cena is now a heel.
Right.
It finally happened. Right. Yeah. His last year as an active professional wrestler, and now he turns heel.
Which, you know what? Like, this segment was fantastic. I honestly didn't see it coming. Okay. And I've been a wrestling fan for 46 years now, and you normally see these changes, like these face and heel changes. You can see him coming a mile away.
Yep.
What I was thinking, though, was Cody was going to tell him to go fuck himself, not use those words. Maybe they would, you know,
Rock, he used to be like, The Rock, the answer is no.
And at Mania, we're going to get a Cena-Cody match like we had Hogan Warrior. You know, that kind of face versus face match.
Yep.
You know, because you're not turning Cena heel.
Of course. Okay, well, because, or so we thought.
You know, well, he's... You know, there's probably some merch to sell, and he's got, he's a great guy that goes and visits children kids, and all that. Great. They're not giving all that up. Well, they are. They
John
did.
Said, fuck it's, them kids. Yeah.
as Michael Cole says every time a WWE show moves to a different channel, it's a new era.
It definitely is, yeah. So it worked. It worked so well. My only beef with it, okay, was the throat slicing.
The throat because slash.
The camera knew right to get right there. You know, it's the same idea as, okay, the face is coming down the ring to make the save, so they got to play the music and all that. And that.
And then they walk really slow.
Yeah.
Randy.
So that kind of, that kind of. See, I'm trying not to say expose the business, because that's another show's gimmick. Yeah. But it does. It does. And, like, stuff like that kind of bothers me. And you didn't need to see it. You know, you can just...
At the same time, though, wrestling is basically a live-action movie.
I understand. It's a new world as to when I was... When I was younger.
It's as the kids call these days, cinema.
Yeah, it's so. Sports entertainment and all that. It's more entertainment
even though it's not,
than ever.
But even though it's not referred to that anymore, after old Vinnie Mac packed his bags and got out of Dodge.
Got out of Dodge, yeah.
But, the entertainment factor is still very much there. The storytelling factor is still very much there. So...
Right, right.
And I felt there was a whole lot of storytelling throughout the entire night of Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. So, but this, to cap it all off with, like, a segment that could have been on Raw or SmackDown.
Right.
Or that didn't need to be the... At first, I was like, why are they doing this? They can't do this on SmackDown? And, well, now I know why.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. You're not going to have John turn on TV.
Yeah. On the USA Network.
Right.
But.
And guess what? He turned heel in Canada.
That's true. He did. Yeah. But, yeah. So, where do we go from here? Well, I guess we'll just have to tune in and see. Yeah. That's really all there is to
it. But until John gets back from Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. That lion son of a bitch said he was going to be full time on his farewell tour, but.
Oh, okay. You know,
such a heel.
Flew to Africa this morning to film a movie.
So in a way, he turned heel before he actually turned heel, because he lied to us.
Yeah,
that's right.
He said he was going to be full time on his final.
He's
run.
He's now Hollywood Cena.
Yeah, that's corporate Cena.
Corporate Cena.
So now we're seeing
corporate Tina.
We're seeing a whole whack of shit all over the internet and all that, comparing this to Hogan's. Turn.
Well, that's the only thing you can compare it to.
Right.
Like, nobody ever thought Hulk Hogan was the goodest good guy for the longest time.
He was, for sure, the goodest boy.
For sure.
Yeah. But he was, like, the iconic person, the childhood hero, the say your prayers, take your vitamins, and then, but John Cena's all about hustle, loyalty, and respect, like, never give up, etc. But, yeah, now here we are. Like, when you get to that point in your career, I guess Hulk Hogan was probably in his 40s when the NWO formed, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so him and Cena are around the same age now, so at that point. So, yeah, like, if the only time, like, to quote John Cena himself, the time is now. So, if you're going to do it now. Because, like, I never thought I would see it, but... He's a heel. He's probably going to win his 17th world championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
And, yeah, like, I really, I really don't know what else to say. It's just like, we have a heel John Cena. He's in the main event of WrestleMania. He's aligned with The Rock. They're like,
what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, someone did, of course, the calculations of days since John was a heel.
Okay.
It's been 21 years, 3 months, and 23 days.
Jesus Christ.
So since he's been a heel, he was a babyface for 7,786 days.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, who does this?
Yeah.
You know, like, who's...
Marks.
Mark-ass Marks.
Who needs to kiss a girl? Jesus Christ. Okay, but...
Some guy named Mark.
But I honestly, like, this is fantastic. I love where it's going. It's the perfect Mania match.
He's not going to retire a heel.
He's not
though.
Retiring a heel.
No. By SummerSlam, he'll probably turn back face.
Right.
Here's my prediction.
Predictions.
Cena wins the title. Duh.
Yeah.
Of course he's winning.
Yeah.
And going to be the 17th championship. 17
time world
beating
champion.
Flair. Not technically, but beating Flair.
In the WWE universe, yes, he is beating Flair.
Then The Rock goes, since I own your soul, give me that belt.
Mm.
And then John's like, or he could be like, give me time to think
about
it.
You're my champion, which makes that my championship.
Yeah, and now Cena will tell him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
After a few weeks of like them figuring it out and everything. Mm-hmm. And then at SummerSlam or whenever, it'll be Cena versus Rock 3. Cena will win.
Yep.
And then
he'll
go from there.
Be the champion. And then it'll be Team Cena versus Team Rock at War Games.
And then whoever Cena's going to put over to win the belt from him when he retires.
And then in December there will be a pay-per-view called Ruthless Aggression.
That'd be awesome, actually. And then
Cena will lose the title at that pay-per-view, and that'll be his last match. And he'll end his career by standing at the top of the ring, saluting, and a lot
of fireworks. We'll hear that last...
Yeah. Oh, also, we should mention that you said that he was probably going to change his theme song to "Bad Bad Man" from his chart topping album "You Can't See Me" that came out in 2005 at this point,
something like that. Yeah. It'd be awesome if he did, though.
Yeah. Well, he's already used "Word Life" or whatever it's called, "Basic Thugonomics" as his first theme, and then he changed it to "Time Is Now," which has been his theme for over 20 years now. Yep. So.
It's got to be "Bad Bad Man" from the album.
Yep.
It makes sense.
It just works too well.
Yeah. So. And it's another one that's really catchy.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
It's very heelish.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But remember that Chris Van Vliet interview, even, he's like, he had all heel gear made and everything from when they wanted him to turn it for Rock Cena 2, and it never happened.
Yeah, there was a lot of times where he was going to turn heel, and then Vince got cold feet and thought about the money. Mm-hmm. You gotta think about the merchandise.
How much shit did Vince throw around his house last night when Cena turned?
He's probably burned down his house last night.
Cena kicked Cody in the nuts and, God damn it!
Yeah.
Aneurysm 312.
Undertaker was probably there with him.
Calm down, Vince.
Yeah.
It's that DX Triple H Shawn Michaels thing when Shawn's kicking everyone in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down, Vince. Don't call me to calm down.
Yeah. And then they rip the axle right off of his limo. And he's just standing outside and he goes, "Ah!" And kicks the bumper and probably breaks his foot.
So, at the end of the day, the Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Horns up, horns down.
Elimination Chamber
in the middle.
Toronto.
Ooh.
I give that a horns up. It's probably one of front to back, probably one of the best pay-per-views of the Triple H era thus far, even though it didn't have a single championship match on it.
Right.
The storyline progression in each match, minus the women's tag team championship match, or tag team match, because that was just for...
That was for Trish.
That was for Trish and crowd-pleasing and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah.
So that didn't progress anything.
No. Nope.
But, yeah. But all the other matches... Progress storylines, shocking returns and heel turns, returns and heel turns.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Horns way up for me.
I liked it too. Horns up.
Even though I didn't watch it live because we had to go support. We went to a local show last night, so we had to support. So you know,
it was fun.
We have our priorities. We had to flip the coin.
Which I found myself watching it live.
Yeah.
Out of all the three of us watching a WWF.
Yeah, I logged in. I checked Facebook and I was like, what the fuck? And I showed Matt my phone. And he went, what?
He's the one watching this? What's going on?
Yeah,
here?
Out of the three of us, you'd think that you would be the last person to watch the WWE pay-per-view live. Before the Netflix deal, when it was still just the network, and you obviously weren't going to shell out any extra cash for that.
No.
Vince was still up. The only way you would ever watch a WWE pay-per-view was when you would come over here.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I have access to it.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I'm going to make this confession. I am a WWE fan.
Snowy White has turned heel.
Wait. Say it for everybody again in the back.
No, I'm not saying it twice. No.
Well,
no,
I'm the editor of this show, so I can just copy and paste it.
He just put it on loop over and over.
It echoes quietly in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a WWE fan.
I'm a WWE fan.
I've been quite enjoying this new era. Yeah. You know, because for
what happened to him
ever since, you know, I started getting the WWF in 1985 with the national expansion, and I had a love, mostly hate relationship with it. You know, there was,
well, because of what Vince did to the territories mostly.
And just
buying up exclusive contracts, and
the product itself was just brutal.
It was
especially
more
in the 80s.
Well, it got Bruno Sammartino to retire from wrestling for that's right. ever.
That's John right. Cena's next appearance has been scheduled. March 17th.
Is that St. Patrick's Day? I think I'm thinking that's St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know.
So John turns heel and fucks off for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Really? Such a heel.
It is.
And it's gonna, and Raw's gonna be in Belgium.
Oh wow.
Oh really? Okay.
So let me guess, they had to go there because John's filming a movie.
Well, no, they were obviously planning on touring there before. This has probably been planned since last year, but I gotta wonder if Raw and SmackDown are gonna be in Europe. Are they going to air those live on Netflix like earlier in the day? I think they would. Because they're not bound by, maybe not SmackDown.
I don't want to watch Monday Night Raw at like noon.
I don't work Monday, so I can.
I mean, you so, can. Yeah.
But,
hang on.
Yeah,
current
I wonder.
Time in Belgium.
Although, no, well, SmackDown and NXT are still on, cable contracts in America. So
currently in Belgium, it is March 3rd, and it is 3:16 a.m.
Oh, okay.
It's Austin 3:16 a.m.
There we are.
So Stone Cold's gonna drink some German beer, and
so ultimately, for me, as much as I'm a WWF fan, WWE fan, this did nothing for me.
No,
like the ending was fantastic, but for the most part, I found myself distracted by other things, and it just didn't do nothing for me. So yeah, apart from the ending, like horns down, you know,
yeah,
like,
to each just, their own.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
WrestleMania is right around the corner, so
yeah, and well, it's going to be interesting
for the lack of title matches that we had on this one. We'll probably make up for two right nights of WrestleMania. There better be a United States Championship match and an Intercontinental Championship match and a tag team title match and a, oh my God, there's so many belts.
Are we going to have the finals of the WWE ID title matches?
Not a WrestleMania, no. That's saved for the indies. But we can talk about those a little bit later or maybe on another episode.
Right.
Because I got my opinions on those.
More belts.
More belts.
It's cool that they're having like WWE matches on indie shows though now, if you think about it.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be similar to how the territories worked with one champion, but then again, it's only ever going to be a champion that's like signed under the WWE ID program. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, Walter defended the WWE United Kingdom title everywhere.
Well, that was a different time. that was when Triple H was in charge of NXT. So, but then again, I don't know. Well, we'll get to it another time. We can go more in depth into it. Yeah. But That's the nucleus of my analysis, is that it's going to be like the territories, only instead of having like all the territories vote for one champion like they did back in the day, it's just going to be like, well, it's obviously going to be a guy that's under the WWE ID program, because mm-hmm. yeah. why would they give that title to anyone who isn't?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But right. Not saying it'll affect the match quality, but the outcome will be
so
pretty obvious.
This Cena Rock thing.
Unification.
If they have a tag team name, what would it be?
I don't know. Do you is this a setup for a joke? Like, do you have a punchline, like, or you
something I saw earlier? I thought it was fucking hilarious. Okay. The Break-A-Wish Foundation.
The Break-A-Wish Foundation.
That makes sense. They're not going to use it, but I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Maybe that's the name of the episode.
Break-A-Wish Foundation.
If I see a bootleg Break-A-Wish Foundation shirt online, I'm buying it.
Oh, for sure. It'll probably be on Temu by tomorrow.
Yeah, if it isn't already.
Yeah.
I can check.
So with Mania coming up around the corner, and as is tradition now, with Mania comes the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Now, I'm assuming the speeches and all that will be on Netflix.
Presumably, yes.
Right. So, actually, I'm finally going to be able to see my first Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was never available when you guys were watching it or whatever. Like,
normally, for the last few years, it's been on after SmackDown.
Yeah, it's been on late night on Friday nights.
It's been
on at like 11, 10 or 11 o'clock on Friday nights.
Oh, okay, so, good.
Yeah.
Good. But either way, even if I'm not home or doing other things or whatever, I can catch it.
Yeah, you can watch it later. Yeah,
later. But so I'm kind of excited about that. But right now,
with the current two inductees,
Okay. So far, the entrants are Triple H
again.
Well, okay. By himself.
Yeah.
Not as a part of DX.
Yeah.
But
and Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nepotism entry.
yeah. I can't
not saying she was the worst wrestler in the world. She was actually pretty good for what, more compared to all the other girls that were there when she was there.
She was doing the Styles Clash.
Yeah, I know.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But is she Hall of Fame material? Has she had a Hall of Fame career?
I wouldn't say so. Was she the inaugural Divas Champion? I think she was.
Was she?
Everybody got that title.
Yeah, I know, but the inaugural, there can only be one first.
Remember her and was it Elite? No.
Layla. Lay Cool was their tag team name.
And they ripped the woman's title in half?
Oh, they broke it in half, yeah. Yeah. They each got one half. Okay.
They have it at their houses. Yep. Michelle has one framed and Layla has the other.
If she's not fucking The Undertaker, would she be in the Hall of Fame? Like, let's put the cards on the table.
Well,
now.
I don't know, like... Like Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame. So,
you know what? How many years ago was that?
20? At least 10. Yeah.
No one's forgotten that.
Yeah.
you know. Okay. So yeah. Like, now Triple H.
That's understandable, but at the same time, I wouldn't make him the headliner.
I certainly wouldn't be inducting him in now.
Yeah, a couple of years after he takes over the company. Yeah.
You know, he's the COO.
COO.
Yeah, he's basically the boss. He's not the final boss. That expression can fuck all the way off. But he's the boss. Okay, this is like one of our managers at work naming himself Employee of the Month.
Of
the year, you know.
And the Employee of the Year award goes to me.
You know, so it's like,
there is no Break-A-Wish Foundation shirt on Temu.
No, okay.
not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
There is, I will buy one.
So that's kind of my soapbox.
No, I agree with you. I don't think Triple H should be have gone in now, especially not been the headliner. Like,
right.
I could only imagine that Shawn Michaels will be inducting him. Anyone else would not make any sense. But
right. As
for Michelle, it's either... I don't think it's going to be The Undertaker. Probably would be Layla.
Yeah,
she'd probably come back for that.
They'll bring the ripped in half belt.
Yeah. Layla was... her name was just Layla. She was a Diva Search contestant, and they gave her a full-time contract, and she... was around for a while, I don't know what she did, because the bulk of what she did was while I wasn't watching wrestling. So that period between 2010 and 2017 when I just didn't watch at all. So
fair enough.
And as for possible other inductees, why not Bray Wyatt, maybe? Like, I'm surprised he didn't get inducted the year that he passed away, or the year after that he passed away. But
right.
Yeah, I would have made him the headliner, personally. Because, like, and Bo Dallas would have inducted him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but then again, yeah. Like, Eddie Guerrero, we'll Eddie Guerrero was inducted the year after he passed away. So.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, I know it's a bit of a touchy subject, and it's all whether or not the family agrees to it or not. But
right,
I don't personally think the man Wyndham Rotunda would have cared if he was in the Hall of Fame or not. And like even Chris Jericho had something interesting to say about the Hall of Fame recently. And well, this all might be because he's on the other team, but
right.
He said that he himself does not care about going into the WWE Hall of Fame because he feels that it lacks legitimacy because there is no actual physical Hall of Fame building.
That's
and
one of mine.
And because Donald Trump's in it for some fucking reason.
Yeah, and it's essentially the Hall of Fame is a state of mind.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it essentially exists in, well, the rings on the people's fingers that get inducted and, I don't know, just a statistics page on the internet, I guess. Like,
yeah, there's really nothing
to
it. And there's no reason why they shouldn't have a Hall of Fame, like an actual brick and mortar.
You would think that when they moved to their new headquarters that they would have like a Hall of Fame section in the building, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
have a Hall of Fame section in the building open to the public.
Yeah.
Just don't charge $100 to get in.
They charge $200.
Yeah. So that's kind of like
They won't do it, but do like $20 for adults, $10.
It would have to be like the size of the Museum of Human Rights that we have here in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll cost you like $20.
I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah. Before we kind of get on with tonight's Turnbuckle Talk, I do want to give a shout out and all the props in the world to the Jersey J Cup tournament that happened last week as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the combined Game Changer and Jersey Pro.
Right.
Jersey Championship Wrestling.
Right. Yeah, JCW.
JCW.
And all that. Every year.
Not Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yes. Yes. That messes with
where
my head.
Where every year they
that.
Have a show in one of their houses and they just destroy his house now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Or they buy a house. I don't fucking know. But they've had a few shows the last couple of years where it's in one of. They say it's one of their houses, and they'll have, like, a kitchen match, and that match will only be in the kitchen of the house.
Oh, okay.
And then the next match will be in the living room, and they'll fucking destroy it. And then the next match will be in, like, the bathroom or some stupid shit. It's weird.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what that
ICP.
Is.
Okay, now we're talking about Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But with the Jersey J Cup, you know, I've only been following it the second year. Okay. But I've been enjoying it. It was a fantastic show. The tournament was great.
What did you think of the referee spots? I saw those. When the ref hit a Canadian destroyer.
No, okay, sorry. No. No, that's okay.
I saw highlights and I was just like, oh, Snowy's throwing something.
This
right
is
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, well maybe I'm glad. You know, that I didn't see that or anything. But for the most part, you know, I got to say I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Got to give it all to Masha Slamovich.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the performance that, and I don't like that
the
word.
The TNA Knockouts champion, Masha Slamovich.
Yeah, but the matches she put on, defending the Jersey title with every match within the tournament.
Right.
Winning it all was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. And now when I think about as you know, that the tournament ended and they raised her hand, it got me thinking. It's like when we were talking about our favorites of the year, Slamovich never really entered my head at all.
No.
and she really should have. Like, yeah. She was wrestler of the year potential.
She flew under the radar.
Yeah.
What were the finals? Was it her and Jordan Oliver again?
It was Slamovich and Alex Price.
Okay, it was Alex Price this year.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on her throughout the year, and maybe she'll make our lists at the end of this.
Yeah, well, she's working on it.
Off to a good start. We're a third of the way through the year, or a fourth of the way through the year.
Remember, at Sacrifice, she's defending the TNA title against Cora Jade.
Well, I'd say she's got a 33 1/3 chance if it's at Sacrifice. Then, you know, your chances of winning drastically go down. No, you know.
33 1/3 chance.
Yeah.
I hear Scott Steiner. Where is he?
66 2/3%.
Yeah. So, yeah, horns up. It was a fantastic show. It's still up on Triller.
Okay.
So, by all means, guys, there's your homework.
I still have not subscribed to Triller. How much is it per month?
It's like
$5.
Five to ten bucks or something.
You have to get the app, which is four or five bucks, and then. Yeah.
Oh, and then the monthly subscription?
Subscription is $5.
You pay once for the app, and then
the monthly. Yeah, it's like $10 a month or whatever. You watch one event, and it pays for itself.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look into it. I know I've probably said that on other episodes before, but, you know, I'm sure we all repeat ourselves a lot of the time on this show, but you know what?
It is.
I don't have time to go back and look at 80 episodes into the back catalog to find out what I said and what I didn't say.
That's right. That's right.
Like some of those older episodes are 3.5 hours long. Yeah. I don't have time. I don't know. The pandemic sure was a different time.
That first episode with Mason.
Like our very first episode, which was like 4 hours, that I had to cut down to 2.5.
Yeah.
Well, we were introducing ourselves and getting the whole feel.
That's understandable. Now every episode that we put out, it's like we are basically it's basically raw and uncut. Aside from the little breaks, bathroom breaks that we take, I don't really take a whole lot of anything out nowadays.
As well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to 4 hours, here.
We're at an hour and a half already.
Okay,
so.
Well, we're going to get
we're
on.
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
We're going to get on with this week's Turnbuckle Talk.
Okay.
Now, I understand it's not, the Elimination Chamber's not really a cage match.
But it's
kind of, sort of.
It doesn't have chain link. It's got chain, but not chain link.
Yeah.
It's got chains that are linked, but it is not chain link. I've gone cross-eyed.
It's kind of, sort of.
It's got pods, it's got pads, it's got chains, it's got
all sorts of links.
It's got sliding doors.
That open when they get thrown
it's
into.
Got, it's got bulb, LED bulbs that look like fluorescent light bulbs, but that fall over very easily, we learned. It's got plexiglass windows, it's got a big old WWE logo on top. Because,
well,
you know,
important.
Yeah, because branding is everything.
Yeah.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, it's the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Roe, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling, and the Tots Paw, introducing the world to wrestling action figure collecting. Also on Mondays, it's 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Rounding out Mondays, it's the Shining Wizards, covering everything in the world of pro wrestling. On Wednesdays, it's the Mark Order Podcast, keeping you up to date on everything AEW. On Fridays, it's Horns Up, as Radioactive Metal brings you everything in the world of heavy metal music. And on Saturdays, it's the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like Bread Club, bringing you the latest from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, your watch-along from Down Under, featuring the greatest wrestling matches in history. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. Going Underground, taking you back to everything in the history of Lucha Underground. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
So anyway, it kind of got me thinking about it and gave me the inspiration for tonight's Turnbuckle Talk.
Okay.
Okay. Cage matches. there have been so many. Like, it's a...
There's so many variations of the steel cage. Like,
yeah, and there's just so many classic matches that happen within the cage.
Uh-huh.
And all that. So that kind of got me thinking, well, maybe for the Turnbuckle Talk, we should kind of share some of our favorite cage matches throughout the years.
Yeah.
So I threw it out to you guys. I think we kind of got our shit together. And who wants to go first? What was your first?
I guess I will.
Okay.
So one of my favorite cage matches of all time was from Unforgiven 2005.
Okay.
Edge versus Matt Hardy. This was in
holy
the
shit.
Yep. This was in the thick of the controversy of in real life, Lita had cheated on Matt Hardy with Adam Copeland. And yeah, which led, like, Matt Hardy was very outspoken about this online, as he usually is about a lot of things. That led to him getting released from WWE because he was outspoken about his then girlfriend cheating on him with one of his best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I mean, depends. We see a lot of that on Facebook nowadays, and this is like when Facebook was essentially in its infancy.
Right.
But like, I'm personally not a fan of airing your dirty laundry out on social media, but he did, and he got fired for it. And then afterwards, Lita and Edge were paired up as a heel team on TV, which I imagine that must have been uncomfortable for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
With all this
controversy, suck it up.
Yeah,
you put yourself in that position.
With all this controversy going on, the fans were very outspoken about it, chanting "We want Matt" every time they would be out there for a match. And one day on Raw, Matt Hardy made his return and attacked Edge in the back, and the security had to pull him off, and then Edge went out for his match, and Matt Hardy came out again, and security were trying to pull him off, and he got on the microphone and said, "Adam, you bastard, I'm gonna make your life a living hell." And then said, "Lita, you whore." Didn't call her by her real name, so
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then he even says, like, "You WWE can kiss my ass. You can catch me at Ring of Honor." And then, yeah. And then, sure enough, he did go to his Ring of Honor date and said some stuff. And, yeah, then he came back and officially signed his new contract and even did a segment where he shook hands with Vince McMahon and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so this was kind of like a breaking of the fourth wall. So it kind of... It had a touch of realism to it, and you had the sense that these two actually just hated each other and wanted to kill each other. So, and they did. They didn't actually kill each other. But
they don't understand why Edge would be pissed at Matt.
Oh.
You know, like...
Maybe he wasn't in real life, but but obviously Matt Hardy was very pissy with Edge.
That's understandable, yeah.
Like, since then, they have mended their fences and they're friends again. I don't know about Matt and Lita's relationship, if there even is a relationship between the two anymore. I don't imagine there is,
I wouldn't bother.
As far as I know, Matt Hardy and Adam Copeland are friends again and they have buried the hatchet. So, but, at this point, 20 years ago now, you could tell they just hated each other and they wanted each other dead. So,
and it culminated in a cage
match. Maybe Adam Copeland did not want Matt Hardy dead. Edge did. So they're different. Big difference. Big difference. Right. The rated R superstar wanted Matt Hardy dead. So yeah, that's my first entrant.
Right on. What do you got, dude?
I forgot the date, so I just looked it up.
Well, I don't have many dates here either.
WWF Armageddon 2000, the six-man. Hell in a Cell.
Oh, I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Where Kurt won the title.
Yeah, or he retained the title.
Yeah, the title.
Yeah, that was the one where Rikishi got chokeslammed. It was really just a shove. He got chokeslammed off the Hell in a Cell by Undertaker into a hay truck,
I guess,
randomly pulled up.
Because Vince and Patterson and Briscoe brought it up to pull the cell down. Because remember, they didn't want the cell to happen.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot about that part of the storyline. Okay. But yeah,
they're like, "It's not happening. Pull it down."
Yeah. Oh, right. They thought a pickup truck was just going to pull down. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, then, Rikishi got pushed off the edge into the truck. And yeah, that's the biggest highlight that I remember. Who else was in that match?
I don't even remember.
Triple H, Kurt, Rock, Austin, Rikishi, Taker.
Right. Wow. A real... Rikishi seems like the odd one out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Putting... It's like, we need another guy. You. Yeah. You, the Samoan.
You. You did it for The Rock.
That's yeah.
That's all your eggs in one basket.
It is, literally.
For a match. Yeah. 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 The price of eggs today? Holy shit.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
At least in the U.S. Yeah. They're just fine here.
Yeah, well.
But that's a whole other thing.
They voted for cheap eggs and they didn't get them.
They didn't get it, yeah.
That reminds me of what Wade said during the chamber match. The last time Cena was in a chamber, eggs, oh, were, yeah.
eggs were a dollar. Where eggs were
$1.91. Yeah. So yeah. Good.
Holy jeez. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. For myself, anyone who has talked wrestling with me for 10 minutes knows when I think of cage match. I think 1987, Memphis, Jerry Lawler versus Austin Idol,
mm-hmm.
with Paul Heyman was Austin's manager.
Paul E. Dangerously.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
They when he had the did he have the cell phone yet?
The yeah. giant cell phone.
Yeah, he had his cell phone, you know, and it was the big hair versus hair match. Austin was defending the Mid-Southern title as well, packed. Mid-South Coliseum, and it was really, this is where the WWF also got the idea of the guy under the ring.
Okay.
Because Tommy Rich, who had recently turned heel, joined Austin, was under the ring, okay, and he climbed out from underneath it. You know, this was, you kind of had to know something was going to happen, because the rings normally... The cages were on the apron
right.
all the way around. But for this match, and I think this is the first time I'd ever seen this, it was around the ringside.
Okay. So kind of like Rich, Hell in a Cell. But,
right,
yeah.
right. Rich was under the ring, comes mm-hmm. out. You know, it's a cage match. Anything goes. They beat the snot out of him. Austin wins. They shave Lawler's head. There was almost a riot.
Well, in Memphis, I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, this match, it went down in infamy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to this day, like, when you talk some of the all-time great cage matches.
To this day.
All-time matches. You know, all-time matches. This match has to be, this whole angle, it has to be in that conversation.
Of course.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So, for our younger listeners and all that, homework. It's all up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. It's an absolutely amazing watch to today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
We know you'll be checking out YouTube when WWE Evolve comes there, so don't act like you don't know where it is.
That's right. That's right. Which I'm looking forward to that as well.
It's like the new, it's NXT's NXT.
Right.
So,
right.
Now that NXT is like a third brand, so yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, give me another cage match, dude.
Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit from Monday Night Raw, June 11th, 2001. I think the competitors speak for themselves, as I know Chris Benoit is a bit of a touchy subject, but, I mean, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit are two of the best wrestlers of all time, as far as their body of work goes.
Mm-hmm.
And every time those two had a match, doesn't matter where it was, what the stipulation was, it was always great. It was always... a clinic, to say the least.
Like Kurt even said on Chris Van Vliet, his favorite opponent of all time was Benoit.
And he's bummed that he can never really talk about any of his matches all that much. So
they're all on Netflix now.
Yeah, like for a match on free TV, like God, like every now and again they just put those matches on Raw or SmackDown that you're just like absolutely 100% yes, this is. This is worth like tuning in for the 2 or 2 hours at the time.
Right.
But yeah, like just they pulled out all the stops, just played all their hits, suplexes, submission holds, like moonsaults off the cage, diving headbutts.
Is that the first time Kurt did that?
I think so, yeah.
Moonsault off the cage?
Yeah, I believe so.
And if I'm not mistaken, Stone Cold was on commentary.
Was he?
I think he was.
Let me check my notes.
Okay. Okay, while you're doing that, you know, because radio.
Oh, yeah, Austin slammed the cage door on Benoit to help Angle win. Yes, you are right. Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you. I'm glad you mentioned slamming the door.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna get to that.
All right.
Okay. What about you?
From Ring of Honor in 2004, Samoa Joe and Jay Briscoe.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
One of the bloodiest steel cage matches when Jay's blood started clotting when it was pouring out of his head.
At some point.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
See, now that's that's a blow off match. That's when you have an angle. You know, that's that you can unsanction. That you can. Oh, this is gonna be a bloody match and all that. That's how you do that.
Except Jay probably bladed too deep.
Well,
clearly if it's clotting when it's coming out.
Yeah. Like you can't top Ring of Honor. You know, like
not Ring of Connor, but
Ring of Connor.
Yeah.
There's been so many amazing moments.
Yeah.
And you know, like I don't know what happened to the Honor Club. I think that's gone now. Or do you
no? I think it still exists, but you only get access to Ring of Honor television, and you don't get pay per views with it like you used to.
No, okay.
But it's still $10 a month to watch a weekly TV show where nothing happens.
Okay, yeah. I don't see that. I've got a stack of Ring of Honor DVDs. One of these times, I got to bring them here. We'll grab a case of beer and pizza, and
we should watch them in the old school living room.
Yes,
There we go. Yeah.
With the tube TV that turns on and makes a sound and goes. Yep.
And then you can feel the static.
Oh yeah.
1982, World Class Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably in Dallas. Okay. Ric Flair's defending the NWA World title in a cage.
World's title.
World's title. In a cage.
I went through this the other day in the chat. It's the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship.
He was defending it against Kerry Von Erich.
Oh, nice.
And these two have had so many great matches, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry winning it at Texas Stadium and all that was perfect. But leading up to that, they're having this big cage match. Michael Hayes, Freebird, was the special guest referee and all that for a little while, at least. What is notable about this cage match, was as it's kind of winding down, Freebird, Terry Gordy is at ringside. Okay, Kerry's trying to make his way out of the cage, and Gordy slams the cage into Von Erich.
Hmm.
This is the match that sparked the Freebird Von Erich feud, the angle that went on all that time and has gone down in infamy. So yeah, it wasn't on a pay-per-view. It wasn't, because there was no pay-per-view. There was, you know, not even closed circuit. It was a house show that they were filming. It's up on you. It is on YouTube, and it's an absolute classic. So,
is it one of those ones with like one camera for the whole thing, or
not really. Yeah,
well, they used to play stuff like that all the time on the network. So yeah,
okay,
yeah,
just fantastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what you got?
What do I got? I don't want to list any that I think that Dustin's going to list. So. No, I won't go with that one.
I'm pretty much an island of myself.
Yeah.
With my picks, because I knew, okay, you guys are going to talk WWF and WCW, maybe TNA.
Okay, so. I'm going with this one. Okay. SummerSlam, 1994.
Son of a bitch!
Sorry.
Which?
Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have had that myself.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm more surprised that he did that you.
Because when I say love mostly hate.
Yeah.
I loved Bret Hart. I loved Owen Hart.
It's like, me, Austin.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a man.
What a match that was.
Yeah, when I was doing research for this.
Now, man.
When I was doing research for this.
Now,
like,
man.
Yeah. When I was doing research for this turnbuckle talk, like when this match came up, I read this line: one of the bigger mistakes of WWE in 1994 was having the main event of SummerSlam be the terrible Undertaker versus Undertaker match.
Oh,
and not
really?
This.
Really, was that?
Yeah, yeah, that was the that was the main event of SummerSlam 94. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Owen Hart versus Bret Hart. And right. I tell you, man, I don't know if it's because they're brothers, but those two had the best in-ring chemistry together.
Right.
They knew how to tell a story. They knew how to work. Like whether it was this match or their match from WrestleMania 10, either like or whether it's Owen kicking his leg out from under his leg because he's selfish.
The Brett, I broke your leg shirt.
What? Oh,
didn't he make that one?
Was it?
I broke your leg.
No, I didn't. No, you are in the backstage interview where he says like, "That's why I kicked your leg out from under your leg." Because you're selfish. It's like, oh, you flubbed that one, bud. But
well, good Canadian boys, good Stampede wrestling boys. Yeah. They were going to have a good match.
But I would even argue that this match was even better than their WrestleMania match.
Yeah,
so,
it's definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like any.
I don't like you anymore.
Oh, why? Because I because I have good taste.
You thought of it, and I did.
Okay, so, sorry for having good taste. Well,
why, Ayana?
Why, Ayana?
Well, it was either that or another cage match on SmackDown between two Canadian boys. But we'll see what Dustin okay. else. Yeah, we'll see what Dustin has.
December 5th, 2004, TNA Turning Point.
Okay.
America's Most Wanted in Triple X.
Was this when the steel cage was still six sides of steel? Yeah.
And Alex Skipper did that Hurricane Rana when he walked across the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. That was iconic.
Yeah. They're still using that every once in a while. Like,
yeah, for a highlight package.
Sportsnet, okay, here in Canada, our sports channels, they have, that's what's airing Impact now. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, the best of and all that. And when you see the commercials for that, that is something they use. Like, that's a moment in time that's never going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I should have thought of that one, too.
No, it's, yeah, iconic.
Mm-hmm. That was such a good match, too. Like, even at the end, AMW's their leg drop thingy, where Chris Harris or James Storm would hold them, and the other guy would just leg drop.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it off the cage to end the match.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that's... You want to talk underrated tag teams.
America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, they definitely.
Well, with the
they had it going on
with the working relationship that WWE and TNA have now. Hopefully, some TNA stuff starts showing up on Netflix. Maybe I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but well, like,
it'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice if we got like a whole selection of old TNA pay per views. Because I personally own TNA Lockdown from 2007. and Turning Point from 2007.
I think I have those as well.
Yeah,
somewhere.
And I have the best of 2007, so which had the Ultimate X match with Rhino and AJ Styles, where AJ Styles tried to
not Ultimate X
or whatever, or the scaffold that was shaped like an
the
X
scaffold thing. Oh fuck, what was that?
I can't remember exactly. I thought it was called Ultimate X, but Ultimate X is the bungee cord one. Yeah.
Yeah. Something X.
Yeah, it was the one where like AJ Styles was like hiding in the scaffolding and Rhino couldn't see him, so he starts pointing at each one and the crowd was helping him out with it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have to go back and check this out.
Yeah. I mean, I have it on DVD upstairs. We can just watch it sometime. Like, you guys are here every other weekend anyway. So,
since I love how the Sinistry, or I don't know how that word, how it kind of works with us. That you should mention how that was an iconic moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bruno Zabisco, Shea Stadium.
Elevation X.
I knew you were going to mention that, yeah.
Because that is an iconic moment.
Yeah.
It was one of the biggest angles in WWFE, whatever you want to call it. It was one of the biggest angles in pro wrestling ever. And it culminated, once again, they packed the stadium. Not because it was a Mania or it was going to be on pay-per-view or whatever. It was just a huge show with just a hell of a lot of wrestling fans that wanted to see Bruno rip Zabisco's head off and throw it right down Madison Avenue. Like,
yeah.
It was just...
I knew that was going to be on
your
list.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And that's on YouTube as well. You're definitely going to want to check that out, you know, because if you're a younger fan, you might have heard of this, but yeah, it's out there. Check it out. I don't need to go into detail. One of the biggest things ever. What you got?
What do I got?
It was Elevation X.
Elevation X. Okay, oh, that makes sense because it was a scaffolding thing. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It was Ultimate X with platforms.
Yeah, basically. except you walk on it and didn't have to, like, monkey crawl your way over the thing.
Yep.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, I'm pretty sure this is one that Dustin didn't pick. Well, because I have one on here that he definitely did because he's told me it's one of his favorite matches. So.
Oh, okay.
But SmackDown 2002. Chris Jericho versus Edge. So,
okay.
Yeah, it wasn't the longest steel cage match of all time. It only ran about 13 minutes, but they packed a lot into it. And guys like Jericho and Edge, especially when they were that young,
yeah,
they went full bore. Oh, so, yeah. Like, yes, it doesn't say exactly which episode it was, but I could probably easily find that through a Google search. But
isn't that where Edge speared Jericho? Like, Edge jumped off the top of the cage and speared him?
I believe so. It doesn't say here, but Edge drawed blood almost immediately, adding to a lot of heat to the contest. The pair battled in a great race. Yeah, okay. It doesn't say, but I do. Yeah, when I read the title, I was just like, ah, yes, I remember watching that, and it was. I remember enjoying it for being such a short televised cage match. Right. Yeah, like it was one of those little treats that you get on free TV every now and again, like I mentioned earlier. So
yeah. You can't go wrong with a cage match.
Can't go wrong with Jericho and Edge.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Back then, but
right. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
But or now it's Jericho and Cope, but and they're both in their 50s, and probably should retire. Well, Jericho at least. But,
yeah, because Edge is still in shape.
Yeah, but he had that cage match with Malakai Black last year in AEW, ended up breaking his leg.
Wow.
Yeah, because he hesitated.
Yep. That's taking one for the team right there.
Yep.
Well, he hesitated and finished the match.
Yeah, he hesitated and finished the match and then took 6 months off.
Yep.
Because when you get that old, broken bones don't heal so quickly.
No.
It takes a while. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And you?
And it's your go.
The first NXT War Games.
Okay, you haven't listed the one that I thought you were going to. So, next time.
No, this is okay. You definitely have. If he doesn't say it, you have to share what you're thinking when all is said and done.
Okay,
because you got me thinking.
When it's all said and done, it's gonna be a tailgate party.
First NXT War Games, Undisputed Era, who were all in AEW.
They were in all the NXT War Games.
Yeah,
or no, not the last one. Sorry,
not the last one.
Yeah,
or the last two.
Wasn't the last NXT War Games the 2.0 versus Black and Gold?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was on a Takeover.
NXT Takeover War Games.
It was them against Authors of Pain, who got released again.
Yeah. Was it Authors of Pain and
Roddy. Roderick Strong, Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and Killian Dane.
Oh, right. It was the three-team War Games. It was when Undisputed Era was just O'Reilly, Fish, and Cole.
Wow, none of them work there anymore.
Wow.
Holy, that was 2017.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
In the bigger grand scheme of thing, that wasn't that long ago.
No, that was like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was O'Reilly, Fish, and Cole before Roddy joined Undisputed Era.
Because Roddy joined not too long after.
Yeah, and then it was a Roddy team with the Authors of Pain, and he even dressed like them.
Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then Sanity. Yeah, they were the final team. They were the three-man teams.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done that since, I don't think. It's always been the 2 5-man teams since then. So, yeah, I do remember watching that live, and this is back when Triple H was running NXT, and this was during that golden era where everybody tuned into the takeovers the day before the Big Four pay-per-view or the Big Five pay-per-view.
Right.
And
right.
NXT would
And NXT would destroy it every time.
We'd watch NXT the night before WrestleMania. It's like, oh, NXT was better, and it was 2 hours. Like,
yeah. NXT was better than Royal Rumble. NXT was better than WrestleMania. NXT was better than Money in the Bank. NXT was better than Survivor Series.
NXT was 2.5 hours. WrestleMania was 8. NXT was better.
Yeah. All every single time. Even though it was 5 matches, it was 2.5 hours, and it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Every match was a banger.
And WrestleMania, it's like, oh, we got to be here. What time? 1 o'clock. Fuck.
Gee, yeah, WrestleMania was 8 hours long. Yeah. I am so glad that that's done with.
It well, technically still is, but it's over 2 days at least.
That's more palatable.
Yeah.
Like, sitting through an eight-hour wrestling show in one go.
Yeah.
That was too much, man.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm enjoying the WWE now.
As much as I enjoyed WWE up until after WrestleMania in 2019, and then it really started to get shitty. Mm-hmm. It was like probably one of their worst years after that. But after, after WrestleMania 35... That was the last one night WrestleMania, and that was a lot.
Yeah, like, I don't want 8 hours.
Yeah.
For two nights? Okay. All right.
Even if Matt Cardona and Brian Myers did win the Raw Tag Team titles in the pre-show, it was still... it was
Even when the Dudleys returned, their WrestleMania tables match with the Usos was the pre-show.
I'm so glad there are no more pre-show matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's okay. Okay, what's up?
Yeah.
You just
so that was NXT War Games. Yeah.
So for myself, 1982 Georgia Championship Wrestling at the Omni.
The original GCW.
There's actually still two GCWs.
Oh, really?
There's one in Europe somewhere called Gorky Championship Wrestling.
Gorky.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've never heard of them. So
Okay. So. Tommy Rich, Buzz Sawyer. Okay, Sawyer's manager, Paul Ellering, suspended above in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
Huge
cage
match. So
does that count
match.
As a cage match?
Well, no, the match was it was within a cage, and you know, and Ellering is suspended above the ring. It's like they did with Cornette and all that. And
the shark cage
and
or whatever.
What made this match so special, apart from being an absolute fucking brutal bloodbath, because... These two hated each other. They had the big build-up to this. There was a roof over the cage. This was known as the Last Battle of Atlanta.
Hmm.
Okay. That is widely considered to be the precursor to Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
And to this day, it's still an absolute classic match.
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
I'll check it out.
It is on YouTube, yeah.
So what was it called?
The Last Battle of Atlanta.
Okay.
Send us the link.
Well, or we could just look it up ourselves.
I'll do it right now.
It drives me nuts when people
send me the link.
Send me the link.
Send me the QR code. Like, how about you use your fucking thumbs and type it in?
How is it? Like, I'm the old guy that knows shit about the internet.
Yeah.
You're the young person. Like,
well, everybody wants a link sent to them or they want a QR code to scan. It's like, you can't just fucking type something in. Yeah, there you go. How long did that take? 7 seconds?
That's right.
Like, your time is not that valuable.
The full show is on here.
Well, there you go.
The match is half an hour. The full show is an hour 52 minutes.
Yeah, that's right on.
Okay, cool.
Right on. Just kind of as a side note, WWE Vaults is fantastic.
Amazing YouTube show.
There's just, they are giving me stuff.
The 4.5 hour Terry Funk that they last week.
That was amazing. They had.
They didn't have to have the fucking donkey farting between every goddamn match.
Because I don't like toilet humor, but. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. And the
you get 4.5 hours of me.
and they had a recent card at the Omni. They put up a Flair versus Brad Armstrong at the Omni.
Wow.
You know, like it's fantastic. I'm enjoying it. I think Vaults is better than most of the stuff on Netflix. Yeah.
On the network flicks.
On the network
flicks. Like even they had that found footage like Elimination Chamber recently.
Yeah.
And the day before it was like the day before the first one, like Hunter Booker and all of them are just sitting in chairs discussing things. And they're like,
yeah, they're looking at
when this match airs, what are they gonna show? And Hunter goes, definitely not this. We're all sitting together.
Yeah, little did they know 20 years later,
right?
Kayfabe would not be a thing.
Oh. Booker, and then Booker just jokes, someone's gonna get hurt. Hunter goes, it's probably gonna be you.
And then Triple H ended up getting his larynx crushed by Rob Van Dam in that match. Yeah,
wow. Holy shit. You got another cage match?
I'll just list off the one that I thought Dustin would have listed off by now.
Oh, okay,
No Way Out. 2002, I believe. Or was it two? No, maybe 2001. Ah, damn it. I thought I had it memorized. Hold on.
Da, da, na, na.
Let's edit this part out.
This is great.
Where'd you go?
Okay, so it's No Way Out.
It is No Way Out. It's 2001 or 2002.
Okay, either.
Three stages of hell between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H. This was a best two out of three falls match. Each fall had a different stipulation. First fall was a regular one-on-one match, contested under normal rules. Second fall was a no disqualification, or was a street fight.
A street fight.
Street fight. Well, no, whatever.
Same thing. DQ, same shit.
Yeah. And then the third fall was a steel cage match. And all the weapons from the street fight were still in the ring when the steel cage came down.
How was that not the main event of that show?
I don't know.
That match was 47 fucking minutes.
I know.
Holy jeez. So what was the main event? Like Undertaker versus the other Undertaker?
No, that was in 2000 yeah, whatever. But
it had to be something
biker,
stupid.
Biker Taker versus I don't know, Kurt Angle. I don't fucking know, but... My memory's not that good, but yeah, Triple H versus Stone Cold, three stages of hell, like when that cage lowered and they were already finished beating the hell out of each other. How the match ended, Stone Cold had a barbed wire 2x4, Triple H had his trusty sledgehammer that he had, still used up until he retired, and they both whacked each other at the exact same time, and they both fell down at the exact same time, but Triple H fell on top of Austin and got the pinfall. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pissed off at the time because, Triple H was such a heel, and the game character was still in its infancy, and I didn't like it.
They had three matches after that match.
Did they?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That wasn't even second to last.
No, that was match five.
Damn.
Okay, what was the main event? I'm done. I got
The Rock defeated Kurt Angle for the WWF Championship.
There you go. I knew it had to. I knew Kurt Angle had to be in there somewhere, but
I don't know. I think a cage match, like to blow off a feud or whatever, I think that even takes precedence over a world title match.
The match,
especially with the names like Austin and Triple H,
The match after Austin and Triple H was Steven Richards versus Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, the right to censor Stevie Richards? Really?
All right. I don't know.
The match before Triple H and Austin was Stephanie beating Trish.
Of course.
Someone was drunk.
Probably Vince. Drunk with power.
That's power, yeah.
Yeah, that's not very good pacing for a card.
Not at all.
Yeah. Like. Nope.
Yeah. Unless the venue said, okay, we need a popcorn match, a piss break match, so throw Lawler and Richards out there.
Well, maybe the way they did it was so that the crowd obviously would have been exhausted after the three stages of hell, so they put that on so the crowd could like you said, go have a piss, go get some popcorn, go get some refreshments, and then their energy, because they would have had their energy zapped for the main event if that was the case, but you know, make that the main event,
because it was that match, and then it was Dudley's, Edge and Christian, Taker, Kane.
That would have been a great match.
And then Rock, Kurt.
Okay. Well, so wait. Oh, that was for the tag team titles, obviously. Yeah, Edge and Christian, Dudley's, and the Brothers of Destruction. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, that was Biker Taker. Mm-hmm. That was Biker Taker and Still Mask.
That's Kane. The one where, by mistake, Bubba hit Taker in the back of the head with a chair.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Oopsie.
Oh, whoops. Oopsie.
From Taker's podcast, the recent one with Devon, so good.
Oh, yeah.
Worth a listen. Devon talks about that. And it was originally Bubba was going to hit Kane, and Devon was going to hit Taker.
Oh.
And Bubba, always switching shit, as Devon said, accidentally hit Taker in the back of the head, and then Taker was lying there like, who? What the? And he went after Devon with chairs, and Devon was like, it wasn't me, it was the fat white one. I'm the black guy.
I guarantee you he didn't go, who? What the? He probably went, son of a bitch.
All right, I have one more. I did have that at the bottom.
Okay.
But I have to say it because I'm sure it's on all of our lists. Undertaker, Mankind. Hell in a Cell.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Good
June
God 28th, Almighty.
1998.
Oh, yeah. Just because of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he
threw him off.
When he was thrown off.
And then he goes back up.
Yeah.
And then goes to the fucking cage again. Like, how is...
Good God Almighty.
Dead?
Well, because they thought it was just going to slightly just fall. And then, nope, it just fucking...
Yeah, but okay. whatever happened, he fell off the cage twice.
Yeah.
Or he got thrown off the side through the announce table, and JR, JR thought he was actually dead.
Yeah. And he had his, like, his tooth coming out of his nostril.
That's because the chair hit him in the face, like, on the way down.
Yeah. He got chokeslammed to the top of the cage. The cage gave away completely, and he bounced, turned in midair, and, like, the chair was also there, too, yeah, that he hit his
chair
face.
Chair followed him down.
Yeah, and then Jerry Lawler at that point just goes, ah, that's it, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then Terry Funk checked on him, and then Taker chokeslammed him out of his shoes.
Literally, though, chokeslammed him right out of his shoes.
Because that Mick thing that came out last year, was like, he finally told what happened. Taker was like, check if he's still alive.
Yeah.
And then Terry went, he's still breathing.
He's still okay.
He's still breathing. And then Taker chokeslammed him out of his shoes.
That was scary.
Yeah, it was. Apparently, after that match was over, Vince McMahon went up to Mick and was like, I appreciate everything that you did for me out there, but don't ever do that again.
Yeah. And then he was on Raw the next night.
Yeah. Maniac.
Right.
Yeah. I would be taking the day off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I would just be cutting a promo, and, like, that would be it. Yeah. Do you have any more?
I am tapped out,
you
as
are
they
tapped
say.
Out?
Yeah.
Okay. I specifically waited.
You have one more? You go first. You go first.
Yeah.
Okay. I specifically waited for me personally. I waited for this one to be last, because I was there.
Oh.
I was there live.
I have never seen a steel cage match live, so
you've got one up on me.
So.
I was in the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this at the barn?
Was at the old Winnipeg Arena.
Yep.
It was the very, like, we had the AWA, and then once the national expansion happened, you know, we lost the AWA a couple years later. This would have been 89 after the one and only AWA pay-per-view Super Clash, which that in itself is a must-see. Like, the matches are all up on YouTube now. And why it's not up on the network, I don't know. Okay, but that was the one. This was after the one AWA pay-per-view. We had two cards here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the second card, the very last match, the Wahoo McDaniel Manny Fernandez feud was still going on. They had the strap match at Super Clash 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a cage match here in the Winnipeg Arena. Jesus Christ, the special guest referee was Vern Gagne.
Gee, what?
Like, yeah. This is a dream.
Oh, that's a...
I was front row center. I snuck a bottle into the building because
you
were
able
to do
that back in the day.
You could do that back then. Like, I was smoking cigarettes at ringside and all that. Like,
yeah, when you could do that back in the day.
Yeah, the match didn't last very long because I think they were running out of time. Match didn't last long. Vern Gagne interfered on behalf of Wahoo. Wahoo gets the big win. Vern Gagne is signing autographs. He signed my program, you know, at ringside. And I'm like,
that'll go for God, some big bucks if you still have it.
No, it's
lost.
Yeah.
Lost in however many moves you had over the years. So,
yeah. But the teenage me, I just met Vern Gagne. He just signed my. It was amazing. Like, the match wasn't very long, but it was an absolutely amazing moment.
That's cool.
It was the very last match, AWA match in Winnipeg.
Oh, really?
And it was a cage match. And yeah.
Well, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I am cherishing this.
Yeah, obviously. If you still remember it so vividly, yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been something.
Okay, dude.
So.
One more.
Now we go to Japan.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay.
Excellent.
I'm sure this won't be violent whatsoever.
One of the many Atsushi Onita's retirement matches.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure he had a couple.
Yeah, because he's still going.
Well, Onita, yeah, that guy's been around for a minute.
So. He's retired about as many times as Terry Funk now.
Well, now Terry Funk's gone to the permanent retirement.
May 5th, 1995 at Kawasaki Stadium. It was Atsushi Onita versus Hayabusa. Rest in peace, Hayabusa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, well, yeah, exploding cage.
Of course, yeah.
Right, right.
And then, of course, at the end, I have terrible memory right now. I don't remember who won. Probably Onita.
And, well, if it's an exploding barbed wire death match or barbed wire cage match,
yeah.
Was there barbed wire?
Yeah.
Okay. On the top or probably. On the cage? Okay.
I think it was real on the, some wire. Of the sides. Well, Japan, so yes.
Yeah.
was the cage just made out of barbed wire entirely?
Not that one.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the end, of course, they got up and they were crying and just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then he came back like a month later. Hmm. Because Onita.
Figures. Yeah, yeah. You know, I want to take a moment out and I want to thank our good buddy Dustin here for showing such restraint. And not giving us five fucking brutal death matches.
Yeah.
You know, where the loser loses all their blood match.
Yeah.
Something. So, loser, up, yeah. Buddy. I appreciate
loser
that.
Gets a blood transfusion. That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, guys. This has been a fantastic chat.
Yeah.
I love it when we
see Cage of Death 2.
Like that. Yeah. Like that. And I think between the three of us, like, you know, like you threw in some TNA and you both.
Mine was all
WWE,
but yeah.
Covered and all that. I went down to the territories between the three of us. This is why this program rules. Okay. I have no problem patting us on the back because we basically. Kind of, sort of, almost have, because there is some distance in ages between you two.
Well,
okay, but
before we wrap it up, I actually do want to give an honorable mention to the tag team cage match from All Out 2022,
yep.
Or 2023, maybe.
Bucks and
Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That's my only non-WWE entry.
Right on.
One of the best modern cage matches of all time.
Phoenix
yeah.
Jumped right. off the top of it.
Yep. And
AEW's cages are fucking high, dude.
Oh, they are, too. And, like, kind of sucks we'll never see that ever again now that Penta's in WWE and... what else? Oh, yeah,
the Bucks are still not defending the tag title.
Phoenix is on his way out. Well, the Bucks are they still the IWGP Junior?
They're still the IWGP
tag team, whatever. Okay. Yeah,
IWGP okay. Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Oh well, when Matthew and Nicholas make their way back to AEW television, we'll
one
see
one of these days.
But you know that match in particular for the AEW tag titles
was
yeah. an all timer at an all timer pay per view. I might add that was the one where both Adam Cole and Brian Danielson made their debuts, so I remember us all being there for that.
Oh yeah,
that was a great night.
That was
we all lost our shit.
Oh, that was the night that made me fall back in love with that made me realize how much I love pro wrestling.
Yeah,
that was like
one
of the pay per views that was the moments. It's just like yes,
we're just like okay, Adam Cole, cool. It's awesome seeing him back. It's
well, no, like, that was a surprise. I was expecting Brian Danielson, Adam Cole coming out, I was like, oh my god!
And Ruby Soho.
Yes, she debuted. That,
and Minoru Suzuki.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It was
a great pay-per-view.
It was a great pay-per-view. We need to find it again and watch it again.
Yeah, because I don't have, I switched cable providers since then, so I don't have it on my cable box anymore saved, so yeah, I'm going to have to find it somewhere.
I'm sure it's around. We can find it somewhere.
Gotta sail the seas and become a pirate once more.
Right on. So,
I would have felt awkward if I didn't put that in there. It just popped into my head.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Such a good cage match.
Definitely. But it's time to bring this crazy train into the station, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, it's been a while, so let's see if I remember. People can get a hold of us. People can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
Right, right. And, of course, we are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you're finding this show out in some other podcast aggregator, be sure to go there. There's a whole metric fuck ton of awesome, predominantly pro wrestling podcasts. But if you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy, you might want to tune into our sister show, Radioactive Metal, where every week I sit down with our good buddy Aaron and we shove metal up your ass.
and so, sometimes Dustin and I show
and
up too.
Yeah,
so,
you guys are definitely no strangers.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're a regular listener of this show, you know, and you haven't had enough of you guys.
I was on a pretty recent episode, like a few weeks, probably a month ago. So,
yeah,
that was the episode where we talked about albums that we would have wanted to be there for the recording of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's the type of conversations.
Yeah.
That we have. So it's always a good time there. Mm-hmm. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada.
There you go.
You don't know his beard now.
I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
And Snowy likes WWE.